What is up, folks? We are firing up a flash cast, a QS flash cast. How's it going, insiders? QS Insider Discord, as always, get to record live. Thank you for joining us. And what's up, Tarkan, joining in for a flash cast. This
Yeah,
is
this is my
great.
second one, second flash cast. I figured because, yesterday, or was it, or a couple days ago, we ended
We
up
were,
like
yeah.
2 hours on talking about TCG player and all the ins and of that. We didn't really get a chance to do any picks or kind of go into cards. So, yeah, man, I figured this would be a, we thought it would be a good time to just jump into a quick one and just like give you guys some cards, like focus on cards and just talk about cards. So.
Absolutely. So just to kind of take that, small discussion we had. Yeah, we ended up casting for like almost 2 hours. So we kind of lapsed a couple days just to kind of like regroup. But here we are. Sunday got to watch KC just absolutely annihilate Cincinnati. So that's good. Now that's over. But yeah, just to kind of go from where we were at from the QS cast, the longer one that we did a few days ago. We talked about the Commander 2018 stuff. That's like a lot of it is sub $5. And that just seems wrong. Especially, given enough time, I feel like a lot of those cards will just start trending, back into the right direction. At least, some of those likely breaking the $5 mark, probably the Planeswalkers. Some of them will start trending, closer to $5. But a lot of them can just be had like under five or sub two. And that just seems like a great opportunity. Some other stuff that we tried to kind of look at. And this is we're just kind of looking at the Dallas Open that's just, kind of finished this weekend. It's in the books. There was a lot of dredge, a lot of artifact decks that have been picking up, a lot of popularity over the course of the last few, not even just like the last couple of events, but for a little while now. A card that I kind of wanted to look at least from that, and to kind of lead us into more of these picks. One that just kind of jumped out at me is Werve Invention. And I know we talked about that card, at least in the Discord, and I'm sure around like, various talking, talking heads and other outlets. But Werve Invention just kind of seems like that card that ends up like Court of Calling, and Court of Calling had a reprint, but Werve Invention probably doesn't have a reprint outlet for a little while. And it just seems like it's trending in that direction. And the even the foil disparity between, the foil and the non-foils, like the kind of multiplier there seems pretty lucrative. With non-foils sitting around, I don't know, $2 to $3, and foils sitting around like six, seven, I think under $10 foils are a pretty good buy. And that may be longer term, but I think, as Werve Invention keeps getting better with artifacts, keeps getting more play in modern, I just kind of feel like it'll just start trending and then finally just kind of take off. So that's
Totally agree.
where,
Totally agree.
yeah, that's Werve Invention. It's just very synonymous with, Court of Calling. Does a lot of the same stuff. Court of Calling kind of took a little time to increase and then just finally took off. And I feel like the same exact trajectory, if you kind of look back at Court of Calling's price history, Werve Invention's kind of following that same trajectory. So that was one that I wanted to kind of cherry pick. The other, it was actually a question brought up by Biospark about, the prevalence of dredge and, just a lot of dredges being played. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a strong deck. It just kind of pops up here and there, and it's still a strong pick. And the card out of that particular list that I still like is Prized Amalgam.
Yeah, I love
And
that
we've
one.
seen that card rubber banned a lot. So it feels like it's just kind of time for that card to rubber band back the other way. It's really cooled off in terms of non-foils and foils. I mean, foils can be had for like $5. And non-foils, like if you can pick them up at or around a dollar or less even. I see, even some listings at less. It seems just like a great card to hold for a good amount of time. That may take a longer time too. I don't have an exact like hold period. I'm just kind of, it's just good to kind of have in your inventory You know, because as, you know, Dredge becomes more prevalent and people are playing it, it just kind of just slowly just kind of creeps up there. But the foils were definitely really volatile. They were spiking and then rubber banding and spiking just kind of as Dredge gets played and doesn't get played as much. But I always like those foils.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm with you on that one. I think out of that deck, that's probably one of the best targets.
But War of Invention, the foils just seem really great under $10. They're like anywhere from $6 to $8. That just seems like a great buy to me. And these are just all kind of modern staples that we'll see for a good amount of time, you know, going forward. War of Invention just gets better as any decent artifact or, you know, played artifact, you know, an artifact that ends up getting play. This card just keeps getting better, just like Court of Calling. The only thing that really kind of cut Court of Calling, like stopped the kind of, you know, upward momentum was a reprint, but Court of Calling eventually got there too. It was like $20. So yeah, I think it can get there eventually.
Yeah. No, I think War of Invention is a really good one, especially the four.
Yeah. And so just a couple other cards that I wanted to document. I don't really like standard foils, but I kind of feel like, I don't know, it just kind of feels like some of these standard foils, especially when they see a lot of play, just it doesn't take long for them to take off, and they don't really like ever really come back to earth.
They're not as frowned upon as they used to be. I don't know if that has to do with the new generation of players that have come in the past like couple of years, for maybe in the past 18 to 24 months or so, but it feels like good hard staples or the marquee iconic cards during a standard period, like a Karn, for example, or Teferi. Well, no, Teferi is not a good example, but like Karn, we'll say. You know, the foils just and maybe Karn's also a bad example. I'm trying to think of some other ones where I guess a good one would be like Chandra from Kaladesh. It's like, you know, you wouldn't think the foil would be necessarily like through the moon, but the foil was really expensive at one point in time and held its price during standard. So, you know, there are plenty of instances, and there's a growing amount of instances when standard foils seem to be doing okay. You know, I used to avoid them like the plague, but now I think, you know, I think newer players like them even while they're in standard. They just think they're kind of cool.
Yeah, and if we use a lot of examples, I mean, the Immortal Sun, that was like a $20 plus foil. It's still like $20 plus. Itali, Primal Storm, I think it spiked pretty hard. I mean, it's still sitting above 10, around 10, standard rare foil. Gissant, Sun's Avatar, I mean, another like pretty much $20 foil. So I just kind of feel like there's a lot of data, you know, data points to kind of look at and say, you know, a lot of these foils start fairly high or end up increasing and pretty much don't look back.
By the way, to be fair, I think a little bit of that is also attributed, not necessarily those examples, but of standard foils holding a premium is attributed to the explosion in EDH. And I think that some of these cards just make their way into EDH decks, and you know, we underestimate the potency. But even if it's a small percentage, that's enough. That's more than it was before, and that's enough to keep these standard foils, you know, at a premium. Or at least contribute.
Especially without masterpieces, right?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
So I think you're right. I think like standard foils, and I, you know, I'm not like super okay, go like just grab like standard foils, but I feel like, you know, when you look at them, I mean, you know, Lazav the Multifarious seems like an amazing card to be holding. Seeing like a lot of different hype, whether it be like people are brewing around it with Necrotic Ooze and Modern, you know, build around an EDH Commander. Yeah, so I just kind of feel like it's interesting. I don't know if I want to jump in right now, but I don't think there's I don't think there's going to be a much more lucrative price point. I don't think it just drops that much, right? Like the foils,
yeah,
probably at around $15. Like how much more does that really drop? I don't think it does. I only think it just increases over time. And then you kind of look at, you know, even from Guilds of Ravnica, even from the stuff, you know, the last previous sets, but you have some of these cards like already entering Modern and even sometimes Legacy. I mean, Legion Warboss, that, you know, a lot of folks thought, oh, well, it's going to contend with Rabble Master and it probably won't see a lot of play. I mean, it's seeing play. So I don't know, like, is $10 for a Legion Warboss foil, like, not that, you know, not a great pickup? Because I don't see it decreasing all that much. Maybe the normal price is, sure, but with that much upside, I mean, I don't know if it decreases.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a couple comments. Look at other foils, even Mythic, that took a long time to fall but did. The foil will tank if it doesn't find a home. Yeah, I understand. If it doesn't find a home, like, anywhere, the foil ends up decreasing. But, I mean, one format, namely, like, Commander, can prop up some of these, these cards' foils, even if they're in Standard.
And keep, bear in mind, we're saying the marquee ones that are either staples or, like iconic cards or are heavy, would make sense in heavy casual play, like an EDH. It's just not... The environment is different from it was before, when it was like avoid standard foils like the plague. There's little to no demand. That seems to be no longer the case.
Yeah. I mean, even Knight of Autumn, seeing a ton of play in Modern already, $15 foil. So I'm not saying go out and buy like standard foils right now. I'm kind of hesitant. I would like to at least maybe wait a little bit longer. But they're definitely cards to look at and monitor, because I don't know specifically the foil price. I don't know how much they drop further. Like, you know, okay, we may have to wait, you know, maybe Knight of Autumn, even with as much play as it's seeing, the foil drops from like $15 to 10. Okay, that's fine. I'm good with waiting for that. But I would definitely keep an eye on them. And I do think, like your comment, Tark, about, you know, these marquee cards, like the foil price, just they don't drop substantially, and if they do drop at all, it takes quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
But you know, just a couple of foils to look at. You know, Knight of Autumn, Legion Warboss, Lazav the Multifarious, especially from GRN. So I was just kind of keeping tabs on those because Lazav is really, you know, getting kind of popular in EDH, and rightfully so. It's cool general. Really interesting effect. Might end up seeing some sort of brewing in Modern with Necrotic Ooze or what have you. Knight of Autumn is just seeing play as a toolbox. And Legion Warboss is seeing play not only in Modern, but Legacy also, is like a one creature army type deal. So that's kind of what I was looking at. I know I talked about Tristani 2.0 and Standard, like in Standard applications. And I kind of was like, you know, keep an eye on this card. This was a while ago now. I think a flash cast, like maybe several weeks ago. But I still kind of like its price point for how much it's seen play, right? Like it's the last kind of mythic in GRN that's like sub $5, but it's seeing pretty substantial amount of play. Like, okay, BG, like black green, like Golgari is the deck to beat, but I mean Sylnessia tokens and, you know, this Boros deck, like they're all right there.
Yeah.
And Tristani sees, you know, Tristani is usually a pretty solid three of in those decks, two or three for sure. I don't know. So that's kind of what I was looking at. What were you kind of looking at, Tark?
Yeah, I have several actually. So I want to start this off first of all by saying that when we look at Modern, I do not believe we're going to get a Masters set or release anytime in the short term.
That's a fair point.
I think the soonest we're going to get one will be fall of next year, which means we've got plenty of time to make some money in Modern. And I do think we may see some increased interest in Modern with no announcement of a Masters release in the beginnings to mid 2019. So keep that in mind, that I think Modern could be ripe. Love your pick of Prize Amalgam. I totally agree with you, Chaz. I think that's the card, that's the target from the Dredge deck, particularly foils. So I went ahead and looked through the open, checked out what was going on, and there were a couple of things that were kind of interesting to me. First of all, Top 16 was an Is It Spells deck, a deck that people are probably familiar with, which is based around kind of like Bedlam Reveler and Thing in the Ice. First of all, Arclight Phoenix, a four of in that deck. So Arclight Phoenix is definitely crack modern. Second of all, really like Bedlam Reveler. I know it sort of is on par with Thing in the Ice, but I like Eldritch Moon a little bit more than I like Shadows of Innistrad. And Bedlam Reveler has tumbled back down to about $4 market retail. If you can get them under $4, I would be picking up Bedlam Reveler. I like that, and I'd like it more than Thing in the Ice. I like non-foils. The foil, I believe, is still around $8 or $9. I think it's still a 2x multiplier, maybe higher. I actually haven't checked that, but I particularly like the non-foils. But if you can get foils at $8 or $9, that's probably fine too. But I like the non-foils. In top eight, Infect has come back and made a resurgence. It showed back up at this Modern Open. I'll say this again. I do think that Noble Hierarch will one day be 100. I know I've been saying it forever, and it plateaued even with no reprint, but I think it's going to get there, especially if it doesn't come back in another reprint set. I'm not saying go buy them now. I just want to comment that I have been on the Noble Hierarch train for a long time, and it's dodged another reprint. So if one doesn't come in a master set, I do think it'll finally hit $100, just putting that out there. However, from the Infect deck, I really like Blossoming Defense, which is recently rotated a card from Kaladesh. The foils are cheap. They are, I think, about $2 or $3. I love the foils of Blossoming Defense, especially with Infect kind of showing up again and possibly, you know, being a contender. Deck did top eight, so it's doing some things. Moving on to Standard. So obviously, Golgari is the deck to beat. At the moment, everyone's on the Golgari train. However, I think that leaves room for a control deck, and we did see one show up at the Open, the top eight Esper control deck. Chromium the Mutable, which is an old Chaz cast, or Chaz pick from back in the day from an old cast. That card is
obliterated on that card by now, but sure.
Yeah, it probably got obliterated by now, but it is a... and it's literally a bulk mythic. if control... Let me just put that out there again. It is a bulk mythic.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
It's okay. I had Azor. You had Chrome. It's all good, man. It happens, dude. We sometimes those control finishers just don't get there. However, this isn't a top eight standard deck, control deck. Control definitely will be explored now that mid-range is a thing and is the deck to beat. I really like Chromium as a finisher. I think there's room for that. There's still money to be left to be made in M19, so I think there's some room for Chromium to go ahead and go up. So yeah, I'm going ahead and jumping on the Chaz bad pick bandwagon and going with Chromium simply because Esper Control is now actually doing something. Now there was another top eight deck from Standard, which was Modern, which was the Humans deck. Obviously, no surprise there. But what was really interesting to me, you were talking about Standard foils. Tajik, Legion's Edge has made its way into the Humans deck as it's a two of in that deck. Outside of being incredibly gorgeous art for a foil, it looks like it was created just to be a foil. The foils currently sit around $5. I would not buy them right away. Guild of Ravnica is still being heavily plenty of time. We have not hit peak supply, naturally. I would give it some time, but I would definitely put Tajik Legion's Edge on your list for foils. If it's done nothing in Standard, and if it continues to kind of tumble, I would definitely be picking them up at $5 or less. And then finally, another Standard pick. There was this Boros Angels deck that came in the top eight. Not a lot of stuff in there to pick. Most of the cards in there, the rares are expensive. However, there was a bulk rare that I thought was really interesting. It's a two of. It's Tkatli Honor Guard. This is literal bulk. You can probably get it for dimes. I think on TC quarter, but you can probably get it on Facebook or around your neighborhood, your LGS for nothing. Possible that this creeps up, hits a dollar. If this deck ends up being moving forward, the rest of these cards are really expensive, so I like Tkatli Honor Guard. It's from Ixalan. I think there's still some room to make money in Ixalan, so yeah, this is a nice bulk pick that has some room to grow. And that's it. Those are my picks. Oh, one other thing I want to say. We were Chaz, but sure. A long time ago when they announced Planeswalker decks were coming out, We both thought that they were pretty interesting, and we both thought that they might be worth a look at. I still like all the planeswalkers from these decks, especially the older ones that are really cheap now. I mean, you can get some of them for like $2. I think like Nissa you can get for next to nothing. I like these cards. I think that they're not going to ever be really expensive, but I could see a $2 Nissa ending up to be $5. I could see a $4 Liliana ending up to be $7, $8 down the road long term. So I do like these things. I unfortunately don't know what the supply is like on them. I have to get an update from some of our store owners to see if they were infinite. But I know at the time, I think there was a lot of supply, but I don't know what the status is, or you know, if they've closed off the pipes on those or what, or if they're still, you know, easy to get. I'm not sure. But I think they're so cheap. It's kind of like the commander cards. It's like, why not? There's no reason not to hedge with these things when they're that cheap, you know, especially when you have something like a Liliana, which the brand alone of Liliana carries some weight. So,
yeah, it's funny that you brought that up. I have a couple more cards to kind of add to this, and then I'll kind of, you know, we can start. Where are we at? We started at 10:52. Okay, so we got maybe more about 10 minutes. I just kind of wanted to touch on that too, because it was an interesting topic. We talked about it off cast, and I was going to like maybe just have like a quick Discord cast about it. But I mean, we'll talk about it here and I'll talk about something else. But yeah, it's interesting because, man, this has to be a while ago now, right, Tark? Like, we kind of evaluated these and we're like, yeah, you know, they're interesting, like for new players, and they're cool. Like, they always have this, like, you know, allure of being a planeswalker and like this kind of. You know, this kind of, yeah, I guess the kind of like shine of being a planeswalker. You know, I picked up a couple like Liliana Death Wielder back in Amonkhet for, I think I picked up a couple of them just randomly to maybe, you know, if I ever used them in EDH and it was cool, I liked the art, whatever. And I think I literally buy listed them a few months later. Like maybe 4 or 5 months later for basically the exact same price. So I don't see how a lot of these have been pretty stable, like almost all of them, even if they're terrible. Yeah. And they all hover around like $5. And I'm just kind of like thinking in the back of my head, you know what? Like if there's ever like a sale, or if you can get these literally, like if you could just grab these, I mean, always half off or at buy list is like you're winning. But these are pretty... These are very stable, I feel like.
Yeah.
These are very stable. Like you can quickly out these at $5 if you still trade. That's one avenue, but certainly in cash. I mean, it's pretty easy to get rid of these.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you. But one comment, Guillaume here. This is just pertaining to the standard foil kind of mini discussion that we had for this cast. That was kind of our discussion. Foil prices are rising because less foil sets are redeemed. And that's a really great comment because it's true. With the reduced redemption window, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah,
I don't think you have to hesitate as much when you're looking at standard foils.
Yep.
Especially like, and again, this is, you know, we're not like talking about, you know, just a random, go buy like standard foils for the standard cards, right? That are played in standard. We're talking about like cards that are pretty quickly crack into other formats or pretty quickly get into the commander scene, right?
Yep.
So I don't think you'd need to be as apprehensive about that. You know, kind of wrapping up my picks. There is another card that I wanted to look at, you know, kind of note here that I felt pretty confident about with, you know, along with Prized Amalgam, same block anyway, is Eldritch Evolution. I think that's just a great card to own.
Oh, that's
foil,
yeah.
Foil definitely, non-foil is fine too, but foils, I mean, they're sub $10. I don't know. I just feel like that's like a really strong buy.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That's also, I don't know if you'll notice, but a lot of vendors tend to be low on stock or out of stock on that. It's really popular in casual, really popular. And it's always has a decent buy list, usually. I shouldn't say always, but usually has a decent buy list, and it's really popular around the kitchen table. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. It's the same kind of pricing of Amalgam. You know, the foils are like $6 to $8. The non-foils are a little bit, probably double price Amalgam. They're sitting around $3. Whenever I see that kind of disparity and that like really tight, you know, that really very almost like a 1X or 1.5 in a card that gets, you know, sees some even fringe play in Modern, that kind of is almost like an evergreen card that just gets better as, you know, you go along. I always want to be in on some amount of those. Yeah. Maybe not super aggressive, but I'd feel pretty good if I owned a playset of foil Eldritch Evolution. But my confidence level on that one and prize, you know, the foil specifically and War of Invention is pretty high.
Yeah.
So if I had to rate them, it'd be like Eldritch Evolution and War, then prize Amalgam. And then what the hell else was I talking about? I talked about Tristani, but I talked about Tristani already a while ago. I still think it's a good card to own. And yeah, I mean, I guess you could just kind of group in like an evergreen statement of pick up planeswalkers when they're cheap. Like if you can get them cheap, like if there's a flash sale or if you have a buy list, like I would always have those up. I just feel like they move really easily. I don't know.
I'm just I'm putting these down for Papu, but yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I love the.
Thank God! Now I have to do it.
Yeah, so I've got you on Eldritch. Eldritch, I've got you on.
Yeah, well, if you could rate them, like, yeah, it's like War of Invention / Eldritch Evolution at the top, Prized Amalgam, then whatever else I was talking about. I was just kind of talking about, you know, standard foils, but you know, I'm not going in.
Tristani, right? Tristani.
Yeah, but I talked about Tristani already. I was just kind of like reiterating it again. Just for the amount of play Tristani gets, it just feels good to be like owning those under five. They're like $253. I don't know.
And you like all the sub $4 or $3 planeswalker deck walkers, right?
Yeah, I don't know if any of them, like, some of them are, like, so, you know, kind of use discretion, like, so, like, maybe a couple of them are really trash, like, just off the top of my head, like, maybe, you know, the Huatli Dinosaur Knight.
Yeah, and I think there's
a couple really bad ones, but I feel like a lot of them are
definitely the Chandra, certain. Like, I think the first Chandra was pretty bad, the Kaladesh one was really bad, yeah. Because I've got you on Prize Amalgam foils, War of Invention, foils, Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah, and all of them, like, I understand, like, we don't evaluate them, you know, based on playing them alongside, you know, a card like Doubling Season or something like that. But, I mean, why not? I mean, these cards are only going to see play in those kind of, in that situation, right? So, you know, some of these ultimates are, like, kind of nuts. You know, even that Chandra that's like really bad, the first one that you're talking about, the -7 is 10 damage to target player and each creature and planeswalker they control for 7.
Yeah.
It comes in with 5. You know? So I don't know. I just kind of feel like they're never bad. It's just kind of, that's just kind of like an evergreen, you know, grab those. It's not really like a pick, but quote unquote. But yeah, I like War of Invention foil, Eldritch Evolution foil, Prize Amalgam foil. I can, you know, maybe even War of Invention non-foils, but I don't know. They're kind of like, I think they're like $1.50.
Yeah. They're like $1.50 to $1.75. Maybe. I don't know if they get, I mean, it just rotated. Eventually. Yeah. But short-term money.
No, they're like $2, $2, $3. Yeah. Probably not then.
Maybe there's like a window where it hits 4 and then it gets dumped. The supply just gets dumped on the market.
That's fine. I don't know. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up for me. I don't know if you had any like kind of last minute thoughts.
No. Just that, like I said, I don't expect a Masters release. Also, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I would not be surprised if they tested another release model similar to what they did with the Guilds of Ravnica. Not saying that they're going to do that, but I wouldn't be shocked if obviously they were testing that system, okay, to see if it would work and to see if they could use it again in the future. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did that with like a modern supplement. And they were like, here's a bunch of cool modern reprints, and here's a set of modern masterpieces, and you can only... Now, will they do it directly through Hasbro? I don't know if they'll do that again. Maybe they do a partnership deal with the store, but I think that that was definitely a test to see if some kind of like unique distribution where they have more of their hand in it would work. So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised. But I definitely don't think we've got any kind of reprint set coming until the fall of next year. So I think modern is really interesting to look at again. And I think we've got some, I think there's some good stuff to be targeting between now and the end of the year.
Last thought, because Guillaume's comment kind of made me think further about this. So I don't know. I want your opinion. Do you feel like so with the reduced time of redemption, right? And this is pertaining to standard foils. Mm-hmm. I think it's a given that MTG Arena will siphon players from MTGO, right? Do you think if people are getting siphoned to MTG Arena, does that pave a way for even more lucrative foils, even when cards are as soon as they're released?
How does that relate to MTGO? Because you're saying there's even because less redemption? Less
people,
like fewer redemption?
So if there's if there's less people redeeming foils already because of the shortened time, and then now MTG Arena is officially released or whatever, and there's less people playing MTGO, and you know they're moving over to MTG Arena, they're not redeeming, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's a camp of people that suspect, and it could be a large... Maybe this is opinion, I don't know, but there is a thought that WotC is on track to get rid of redemption down the road.
Interesting.
So I don't know how much I believe that or agree with that.
I would not be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. I don't think it's going to happen soon.
Sure.
But obviously, if that happens, I mean, look, that's another one of those things where maybe that's an outdated model. You know, I mean.
Right.
They don't need all that extra product in the marketplace. Now, as long as you have MTGO and people are paying, allowing them to redeem digital cards for physical assets, like it seems like you would need to do that. But you know, it's a pain in the butt for them to have to deal with. I mean, it's sort of like if you think about Direct, WotC Direct, it's kind of like similar. It's like, why deal with the hassle of all of
that?
And they have Arena, and if Arena's blowing up. So I can see the point that maybe they get rid of redemption. And should they get rid of redemption, I mean, I think there's no reason why standard foils, couldn't finally be, you know, just maintain a premium. So
just a thought.
I don't know if they're going to go higher.
I mean, their track record shows that they would do that. Like they would more likely get rid of redemption than not.
Oh yes. Well, no. I'm saying that I don't know if to your first question, I don't know if standard foils would increase,
not
like,
increase
significantly,
but
more.
The price trajectory just doesn't really drop. Like it doesn't drop much.
Yes.
Graph. You know, just looking at the price graph. The standard foils that would see play in EDH or what have you, they don't drop basically at all, almost none. You know, if more and more people are getting away from redemption.
Yes.
Okay. Just a thought. Totally. All right, Tark. I mean, that was a pretty quick cast. Pretty good thoughts. Interesting. Thanks for typing that up, dude. That really helps me a lot.
Yeah. No problem.
All right. So we are going to wrap it up for tonight. Thanks everyone for joining. Shout out to KC. Good job on the win. Was a blowout.
That would be Kansas City Chiefs, not Clark Clan Ironworks.
Yeah.
Not Clark Clan Ironworks.
Not KCI, KCC. and I am 0-7. That is awesome.
Well, we'll talk about that another time. We'll talk about off-cast.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. All right,
guys.
Have a good night, folks. We will see you later in the week.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us.